Can you tell us, you come to Colorado Springs, can you tell us a little bit about the live show? Do you have a horn section? What can we expect?
If only we had a horn section. if only. If somebody plays the horn and wants to get together before the show to make some arrangements with me, I would very much enjoy that. So call the station and get in touch. I go on stage, I tell stories, I talk about how we make the radio show, and I stand on stage with I have an iPad and there's basically a mixer and lots of clips of music and things like that. So basically I can recreate the sound of the radio show around me as I speak. And so it sounds just like the radio show, even though you have the experience of seeing a person standing there, talking to you. And it's a mix of thing, me telling stories about things that we did put on the air, me playing things that we haven't put on the air, and some of the things you never can put on the air. And in the case of one clip, sometimes I play, it was legal to play it on the air when we put it on the air, and now it is illegal to play it on the air. And so it's a bunch of kind of behind the scenes stuff, and just honestly, it was just like an excuse to tell funny stories and from the show.
In terms of your show here, one of the things that we're doing here at KRCC is we're having a giveaway. We're having a contest to get into the meet and greet with you, and I wonder if you could say a little bit about the meet and greet and what can people expect, you know, when they actually get to meet and greet you.
Well, they'll learn that I'm actually a monster.
One.
I mean, exactly. I mean, what would they learn? I mean, I think, what can they expect? I don't know. I mean, I try to, you know, talk to everybody who comes to the meet and greet. I mean, I feel like that's kind of the point of it.
Sure.
What's weird is I think that people, I think this isn't just our show. I think this is any radio show that's any good. Actually, like, I feel like people feel like they know me from being over the radio. And so I think I know because listeners have said that, you know, like they'll walk up to me and they say, oh, I just feel like I already know you.
Yeah.
And then I think like it's such a weirdly lopsided interaction, if you imagine it from my point of view, because I don't have any information about them at all. And then I find to a surprising degree that the people who tend to come to the meet and greet tend to be people who like often I feel like, you know, if I lived here and we met in a normal situation, like, you would be my friend. I totally had the experience of, like, you like, we just happen to not exist in a world where that's happening. But it totally, it feels it from my side, too, weirdly, way more often than you would think. Like very often.
Do people confess to you about their favorite episodes? Do they want to talk about it? You know, the episode, do you have that happen a lot?
That happens a bit, yeah. Like, but I think that's partly people just trying to figure. I think it's a mix of people trying to say like, oh, this, I really liked this, right? And
yeah,
or this touched me. But also, I think it's like people, you know, you meet somebody. Like, I've had this experience of meeting a writer or meeting like somebody on TV or something, and you just think like, what do I even have to say to you,
yeah,
Brad Pitt? You know what I mean? Like, what do you say to Brad Pitt when you meet Brad Pitt? You know, this even, you know what I mean? And it always feels like. And then it's just like it's a confusing thing. So I feel like even for me in that situation, often I'll just talk about it. Like there's this one moment that I really liked that you did. And yeah.
I liked you in 12 Monkeys, for example.
No one ever says that to him. But yeah.
I'd like to.
Like when I met Brad Pitt.
What did you
did
say?
Actually,
how'd it go?
Well, my version of that was there was a thing that I noticed. This is years ago, so he's done a lot of work since. But the first Ocean's 11 film had come out, and I noticed in every scene he's eating something. Like when I saw the film, I noticed this.
Yeah,
and it's like a move. Like and it makes the acting actually super naturalistic. Like he's always having a snack in his hand in every scene. And I asked him like, "What's the thinking?" You know what I mean? Like it was helpful because you were able to talk about something specific instead of just like, I like you, you know
yeah.
what I mean? And then we talked about it. He told me an interesting story. He said that he did it in every scene, and then he realized he should have varied it up in one scene and for a reason. And he said that that's one thing that he learned when in True Romance, he has a tiny, tiny part in True Romance where he plays the boyfriend.
Right,
or
yeah.
And he says that in every, he said that he had a bong a honey bong in that scene, in one of his scenes. And he wanted to have the bong in every scene. And the director's like, no. It's so much better if you don't. And then you have it in one scene. And he said that he should have taken that principle when he did the Ocean's 11 film and had it be the same in every scene, but then different in one. And I feel like it was such a revealing conversation because, first of all, look how much thought he's giving to this and how after the fact, I think the Ocean's 11 film, they shot the whole film. He's like, nailed it. And then he went to the opening night screening and he saw it and he's like, oh no. I did the eating thing in one too many scene. And then for years, it's been in the back of his head. And then if anybody brings up the film, he's like, I kind of f***ed that up.
It does seem that, and when you watch the film, it seems like they're making him a certain kind of character by having him eat all the time, but they're not. That's what's weird about it, right? It doesn't go into the wider vision of the film. It just is completely random.
It's just a thing that's random, which is part of what is so nice, actually. Usually in a film, everything gets explained. There's a moment in an old David O. Russell film that's one of my favorite moments in a film with Christians, and that is that one of the guys in Three Kings, the film Three Kings, it's about Iraq and really, really, really good film, and for a bunch of different reasons, but one of which is that it's a super mission-y film, but at the same time, it's totally out for entertainment. It's like a James Bond movie at the same time. It's got a big message about the U.S. and Iraq and all that. But there's a character who just happens to be a Christian. You know what I mean? And so sometimes he just goes and prays. And it's not part of the plot. It's just that's his thing. And it's it's not made a big deal out of, and it's nothing. It's nothing in the film. And I felt like I remember when I saw it, I thought no one ever has a Christian be a normal Christian in a movie. Usually if they're a Christian, it's to make some point about how crazy Christians are or how something Christians are. And you just don't see Christians in the way that most of the Christians in our lives, devout Christians, are.
Yeah, just in the same way that nobody just coughs in a movie. Anybody coughs in a movie, that's it. You're on their way out.
That's so true. Yeah,
that's it. In normal life, people can, in actual life, people can cough all the time. It doesn't mean that they're dying. You do that in a movie, watch out.